Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with FAA Chief Information Officer David Bowen. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. Dave, given both your private and public sector experiences, we'd like to get a sense of your management strategy. Could you provide us an overview of your management strategy?
I'd be happy to, Al. When I joined the agency, I brought with me a set of principles which I call our operating principles. These came from my experience at Blue Shield and really helped us institute a very disciplined culture there. So we're starting to roll those out, certainly in my group in the FAA and the groups that I'm interacting with. It really talks about principles and behaviors, and I won't go into all of the details, but some of the principles that we're trying to enforce here include enforcing a culture of data-driven decision-making, not making decisions based on, you know, hearsay or whatever. Be prepared and know the details of your line of business. Leadership should be in the trenches. That's a leadership principle. And then one that I think is important talks about alignment. You know, you give everybody the opportunity to participate in a decision, but once the decision is made, we expect people to get in line behind the decision and act accordingly. Don't go out of the meeting room and basically try to undermine the decision that you just made. So that principle says once we get to alignment, act aligned. Well, there are a couple of behaviors, too, that I want to highlight. There were about six or seven of them that I brought to the agency, but a couple that I'll highlight include one is to be clear and explicit. What are we asking to be done? Who are we asking to do it? How are we asking for it to be done? And when are we expecting it to be completed? Oftentimes in a discussion, these parameters aren't agreed to mutually by the parties and result in confusion. A big one for the FAA involves taking an enterprise-wide view. This is where we're challenging people to start thinking about doing what's in the best interest of the agency, not necessarily what's in the best interest of either them personally or their line of business. And that's a very difficult thing to do given the line of business focus that we have in our culture. Two other ones. One involves responding with appropriate urgency. And then the final one is to take personal responsibility for execution. And that is to hold people accountable and make sure that people understand that they have a responsibility to make things happen. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, then they need to be accountable. They should not be making excuses. I couldn't do X, Y, or Z. They need to stand up and be accountable and take on this responsibility. So those are some of the things that I brought to the FAA from the commercial world, and so far they're working out well.
Earlier this year, the IBM Center for the Business of Government published a report comparing the U.S. air traffic system to the systems in the U.K. and Canada, which have adopted market-based principles and rigorous capital investment processes. Unlike the U.K. and the Canada systems, the U.S. ATC capital investment planning process has been marked by a history of relatively poor performance and high costs. Could you tell us about this planning process at FAA and highlight some of the more recent improvements?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think part of this gets back to the context that I tried to set in the beginning of this discussion around the size and scope of the services that we provide. A comparison with the air traffic control system in Canada and in the UK is probably appropriate from a structural standpoint, but maybe not from a volume standpoint. Our airspace is far larger. We handle far, far more aircraft. And so we think that our business is a lot more complex. Nonetheless, we have had to improve our acquisition and management review processes over the last couple of years. We have been called to task by the IG and as well the OMB and have had our projects on the various watch lists of those sort of oversight kind of agencies. We've taken a number of steps to improve our processes. Obviously, we, like most of the or all of the agencies in the federal government, are now doing business cases around our expenditures. We're doing projections of where our projects are. I happen to sit on the FAA Investment Review Committee that reviews all investments across the agency. So I bring not only an IT background but also a financial management background to this process. And I'm starting to ask a lot of tough questions, as are some of my counterparts on those investment review committees. So we are actively improving our project management processes. We just had our final project taken off the OMB management watch list, so we're not right now in anybody's sites as far as the oversight boards. Everybody seems to be relatively happy with the way things are going. We discuss these projects periodically, review them. And overall, I think our processes have improved significantly.
That's fantastic. I know being under that kind of scrutiny puts a fair amount of undue pressure on an organization.
Now, Dave, there are many exciting approaches to technologies that are vogue in the marketplace today, promising significant advantage in cost savings and improved systems integration. For example, there's the rise of service-oriented architecture, or SOA, which is the architectural style whose goal is to achieve loose coupling among interacting software agents. What is FAA's investment strategy to enhance its future technology portfolio?
Well, Pete, I'd like to say we're further along in that area than we are. You know, it's funny you get these sort of waves of timely topics or whatever, and the SOA seems to be the most recent sort of wave du jour, if you will, in the IT community. But nonetheless, there are a lot of advantages to moving to a service-oriented architecture. What I've got to say, though, is that because we're still operating in a federal model, and we haven't established hard standards around software development and the software development lifecycle, that we have a lot of people doing a lot of different things. So we're not there yet. We certainly want to move to a position where we do have standards in this area, but you know, we're just not there.
Well, we've talked a little bit about security earlier, but as you know, information technology security has been in the news a lot lately, with stolen laptops causing major problems in various government agencies and also causing concern among our citizens over issues like identification theft. FAA has made significant progress in addressing computer security weakness. Could you elaborate on the progress made by FAA remedying such weaknesses?
I'd really be happy to, because we're very proud of the progress that we've made in this area. Kind of takes us back to the discussion around the getting to green in the PMA agenda. We've made huge progress in the area of IT security. We have a state-of-the-art cybersecurity incident response center, which monitors the FAA computer networks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I talked about the various agencies that we're collaborating with in doing this and sharing data with. We think our center is one of the best in the civilian government, was just certified at a new higher level of CMM, which is a capability maturity model standard that is in use for operations of this type. We have a performance objective in the flight plan of not having any cyber events disrupt our systems. And despite the fact that we deny over 1 million access requests to our network each and every day, we have yet to have a significant cyber event. We're looking to set up this cybersecurity center as a federal government center of excellence for computer system security. We're working with the Department of Transportation in helping them out and moving this forward. So a lot of progress there, things going well, and we're real happy about that. Regarding the identity issue, this is an area of particular sensitivity to me, and may get back to the conversation we had around the healthcare experience, because in the healthcare space, this personal identity issue and identity theft issue has been on the forefront of our activities for the last 5 or 6 years, going back to the HIPAA legislation that mandated some protections for particularly health-related information. So in the healthcare sector, we're very sensitive to that. I talked to our deputy administrator probably a couple of months ago about the possibility of encrypting data on all the laptops, and got his endorsement to do that. And so we've embarked on a policy whereby we're not going to fool around with stuff. We're going to basically make it a policy that every laptop in the Federal Aviation Administration is going to be encrypted, so that in the event it gets lost, stolen, or whatever, we know that we're protected from that theft and the resultant loss of data and any kind of implications that it may have, and not have to worry about it. This goes beyond recently published OMB guidelines for the protection of what they call personally identifiable information, or PII. But again, I feel strongly about this. Probably my healthcare background, this is the right thing to do. We need to do it, and we are doing it.
On a similar theme with personnel identification, we understand that the FAA is currently planning for the implementation of smart card technology for granting personnel access to facilities and information systems to meet the requirements of HSPD-12. What's FAA's strategy around this initiative?
Well, we do have an HSPD-12 program in place. HSPD-12 has two phases, a physical access phase, which allows an individual access to physical facilities, as well as a logical access, which allows an individual access into their computer systems, applications, and things that they're allowed to use. We are pretty far along in the physical access piece. We have systems in place that have some degree of that kind of capability. We need to put them together, and we need to bring them up to standards that are mandated by HSPD-12 in terms of the information contained on the card and things like that. We have a little bit more time to work through the logical access implications of HSPD-12. We do have a team working on that. It is being driven largely out of our area, my office. And we're developing plans. We're developing an architecture and infrastructure. I think this is an area, though, where we really want to spend time looking at what industry has done and also what other agencies are done, because unlike most of the initiatives, it seems to me, in the federal government, this is an initiative that is relatively consistent across all of the agencies. You know, the agriculture people need the same kind of physical access and logical access that we do. And so I'd certainly like to see more interdepartmental cooperation in this area so that we can move forward collectively and not all have to reinvent the wheel. Right now, we're taking a build approach to HSPD-12, particularly on the logical access piece, but we continue to look at what industry solutions are out there being offered by various vendors. And some of the agencies, I think, are taking a leadership position and offering services to other agencies, and we certainly want to explore those. Bottom line here is to make the best business decision that's in the best interest of the FAA.
Excellent. What does the future hold for the FAA's IT office? We will ask CIO David Bowen when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.